Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Zelasco. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production together with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the practical application of health information, nutrition, exercise, diet, supplements. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's something to consider or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. This is the final podcast of this season, so I think it's appropriate to provide a research update and an opinion or two about nutrition and dietary supplements, then finish with a personal update. Let's begin with vitamin D. My newsfeed, the week before I recorded this, contained at least three referrals to a recent article published in the Journal of Nutrition. The headlines were all about the same. Vitamin D supplementation is ineffective in the short term as a treatment for COVID, but provides insight into how to reduce the risk of long-term COVID symptoms. I thought it deserved a special look. Researchers selected a large group of potential subjects from the United States and, of all places, Mongolia. Subjects were notified of the trial by the testing companies within 7 days after a positive COVID test. If the subjects passed criteria for inclusion in the trial, they were assigned to either a placebo group or a vitamin D supplement group. The subjects were required to perform surveys periodically about their symptoms, with a primary outcome being further professional treatment or death. There were a number of secondary criteria related to worsening symptoms requiring more than a single visit to a healthcare professional or hospital. In short, there were no observable differences between those who used vitamin D supplements for the 4-week trial or the placebo group in those who required additional treatment. A disappointment for vitamin D users? Maybe not. So back to the headlines. The rest of the headlines suggested that taking vitamin D upon getting COVID may reduce the symptoms of long-term COVID, a serious after effect of the COVID infection that can impact the nervous and muscular system. Brain fog, chronic fatigue, and pain are just some of the common symptoms. Now, the reason for hope with long-term COVID symptoms is that those subjects who continued to supplement with vitamin D showed a lower propensity for long-term COVID symptoms than the placebo group. Now, it was not statistically significant, with 21% of the vitamin D group showing symptoms of long-term COVID versus 25% in the placebo group, but it provided hope for further research. There were no differences in serious adverse events between the placebo and the vitamin D groups. Two things that I found interesting. First, those subjects in either group who had normal vitamin D levels in their blood did not have an advantage over those who had a very low or low levels of vitamin D. And that surprised me, as one would think that having a good baseline would be protective in some way. Maybe not. Second, whether vitamin D impacted COVID as to the length of symptoms, it showed that vitamin D supplementation at the first symptom of COVID very well may be productive. The amounts used in the study were 2 days at 9,600 international units and then 3,200 international units daily for 8 weeks or more, based on the length of the continuing study. Why would vitamin D be beneficial after a person contracted the virus? Speculation by two researchers, one being one of the authors and the other a scientist from a different lab, was that vitamin D boosts the immune system by reducing inflammation during the infection. The only way we'll know for sure is by doing more research. But for now, it's up to you whether you and your healthcare professionals want to use vitamin D for your next COVID infection. But really, it seems like a viable option. Let's turn the page a little bit. Paula mentioned something about a hamburger cereal, of all things, and I just shook my head. But then an instant later, I just had to check it out. Yep, there is a product with dehydrated beef that makes it crunchy, sugar from honey, and a bunch of other natural ingredients. just pour on the milk. Except one thing. This processed food contains no fiber. You may get a little more protein, but why this way? Which brings me to my first opinion. The new dietary guidelines have been overhyped by the officials of the United States Department of Agriculture. Does it call for more protein? A bit more. Does it recommend frying in tallow and butter instead of seed oils? Yeah, but I want to be clear. Since the McGovern report outlining the lack of healthy foods in the typical American diet way back in 1977 and recommending what eventually became the 1980 dietary guidelines, nothing has really changed in the dietary guideline recommendations. The recommendations still say to reduce fat intake to 30% with only 10% from saturated fat. They still suggest high carbohydrates, but not what the keto people seem to think. The original recommendations said to eat more vegetables, fruits, and whole grains to make up most of that 50 to 60%, not the ultra-processed food that was implied by the latest dietary guidelines. It was the manufacturers that ramped up the processing, which wasn't and still isn't illegal. Should we spend more time fixing our own meals and cook for ourselves? Absolutely. But now, how much are they going to spend on education to help the population learn how to do just that? I mean, I've seen a couple of the cool commercials, but not the type of in-depth program that it would really take to really teach people nutrition and cooking. The new dietary guidelines are all hype, no substance. Now I'm going to turn to the continuing attack on dietary supplement industry by the medical profession and the Food and Drug Administration. My brother-in-law suffers from fibromyalgia. Now, I've recommended some different nutrient approaches, but they didn't seem to help much. However, he heard about L-arginine, which is an amino acid, and he said since he's been taking it, he's had much less discomfort. And that really makes perfect sense because L-arginine promotes the production of nitric acid, which increases blood flow to muscles, which can help with fatigue. A different source are the nitrates that are in beets, but that didn't seem to help him. Neither did creatine, but one nutrient did. Trial and error is a pain, but it's the only way to identify what is specific to an individual. Well, where's the opinion in all of this? Here we go. A nutritional dysfunction is not a disease. The McGovern report turned from enriching and recommending foods to make up for vitamin and mineral deficiencies in the diet to actually recommending what people should eat to maintain a healthy weight and reduce their risk of degenerative diseases. Look, we are all complex animals, and in a word, we are all mutants. There are thousands of chemical reactions that have to take place for a single nutrient to be digested, absorbed, transported to the liver or other target tissue, transported into the cells, be processed by the correct receptor to make the correct protein and bring about the desired outcome. To think that we understand the complexity of nutrition is sheer fantasy. I'm not just talking about vitamins and minerals. There are thousands of phytonutrients from plants that can have roles as well. So when it comes to nutrients and food deficiencies that are as yet undiscovered and unresearched, they do not result in a disease. Now, maybe if the deficiency lasts long enough, but anymore, food is not pharmaceuticals. Whether from food or as a dietary supplement, do not treat disease. They compensate for nutrient-related dysfunctions. Finally, I'm going to have cataracts from both eyes removed, the lenses replaced, as well as drains put in both eyes a couple weeks apart, coming up very shortly. It's been a chore to try and read through vision just blurry enough to be a real inconvenience. I should be good to go again and be able to read without glasses again before the next season begins. So remember this, be good, do good, God bless, and go Bills. And that's all the time I have for this episode and this season. If you like the podcast, please hit the share button and tell your friends and colleagues about it. Until next time, this is Dr. Chet Zelasko saying, health is a choice. Choose wisely today and every day.